In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You are advised that any view expressed by the host or their guest are not necessarily the views of the owners or management of TogiNet Radio, Togi Entertainment, or the Owners Group, Inc.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pat Sloan. I'm so excited that you're here this afternoon on my show for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. So exciting. We have great guests, great guests. I've got two wonderful designers that you all know and love from the magazines and from all around quilt world. And so we're going to chat with them. And then we're also going to talk with Jennifer Keltner, who is the executive director over at the magazine. So we're going to find out a little bit at the end from her. So here we go. Our first guest is, you just love her. I know you all love her to death, and so do I. Aditya Sitar is such a fabulous designer, and she has, you know, you just love her work. I love her work, and I've gotten to know her as a really nice friend of mine now, and that's been a big benefit. Oh, Aditya, I'm just so glad you are here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ted. And it is my pleasure. It's just wonderful to be a part of your show.
Oh, you're just awesome. You know, I just always love catching up with you and watching your work. And we're just going to talk for here and tell everybody about how you got started. Because, you know, I'm not sure I know exactly how you got, you know, into quilting, because you are just, you know, so good at it. You know, what made you start quilting to begin with?
Well, I started sewing when I was a little girl. I was just about 4 years old when I stood next to my mother and admired the drapes that she just finished and hanged in her windows. Uh-huh. And as soon as she walked to the side, I took a pair of scissors and cut a hole in those drapes. I needed some fabric for my first project.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, thank goodness my mother was a patient woman and allowed me to enjoy some textile and taught me how to hold a needle and a thread put through it and taught me how to sew. And that was my foundation for later on when I met my husband. I was introduced to his family, and his grandmother, Anna Sitar, was a fabulous quilter in Pennsylvania. She was the one that took me under her wing and taught me how to rock a needle and do not rock a family boat.
She must have been some woman.
She was incredible. She was just wonderful. She used to make many quilts for her local church and donate them to the church, and they had a bingo. And people from all over Pennsylvania and upstate New York will come on a buses and play bingo and win quilts. Many members of grandma's family have not received a quilt from her. They had to come play bingo to get a quilt.
Oh my gosh.
So for example, my husband Michael, he was 17 years old when he won our wedding quilt. He didn't know it's gonna be his wedding quilt, but as soon as he won that quilt, grandma said, okay, buddy, you're done. This is your wedding gift.
You're done. Oh gosh. So did you get married when you were 17, or was it a little white?
No. He just got the quilt then, and grandma took the opportunity to tell him that this was his future gift.
She was a smart woman. She didn't have to make another quilt for him, did she? She was like, okay. Fun thing to have to win your quilts from your grandmother. You know, you have married into an interesting family, didn't you?
Oh, she was amazing. She was wonderful, but it was fun. You know, she drew the crowd towards her, and she believed, like many quilters, you know, reason for quilts. We come up with this fantastic reason. We make quilts and support our favorite charities and events, and that's who she was. She used quilting to make a statement in the world.
That is so sweet. Just incredible. Yeah. Quilters still do that, like you said. It's still a way that we like to quilt. Now, tell me a little bit. Has your quilting style changed? I mean, right now, people can really pick out your quilt from your fabrics and your style. But when you first started, what kind of change have you gone through in your style of quilts?
Oh, absolutely. I think it has changed. I think the inside of the quilt is just as important as the outside, the quilt top. So, for example, the bedding have changed for me. When I first learned how to quilt, Grandma, of course, introduced me to polyester bedding that was so popular in, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I enjoy using cotton and silk and wool, and that's what I make my quilts today with it. So that's a huge difference. And
Would be a big difference, going from the poly batting over into the natural fibers.
Yeah. As soon as I touched the cotton batting and I saw it for the first time, I have never made another quilt with polyester batting. I just loved the feel.
And that poly holds all the folds, too, in your quilts, you know. Not so
but,
good.
You know, that's, when, you, she, you know, that's what
but that right, you're right, that's all they.
And, that
it's
were
just
the beginnings.
Things change.
Big puffy quilt, that was the good one.
Yes.
And I like the thin quilts, I call them.
Yes, the thin ones. I like that too. What if you're doing thin quilts now, what are you using, like the silks to get that very thin quilt? The silk batting?
There is a variety of beddings that you could use. I like to use the Tuscany collection beddings, and I like to use silk and wool for hand quilting. If I have an applique quilt, I like to use the silk beddings. I love the cotton beddings for quilts that I like to wash and pre-shrink a little bit to get that antique look to it, you know, like a crinkly look to it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I usually plan, you know, how I'm going to display the quilt. And just like you, I travel quite a bit, and it's important for me when I open a quilt that it's nice and doesn't have folds. So the better beddings, like wool and silk, give you that option that the quilt lays nice and flat and opens up really nicely.
Cool, cool, cool. So let's talk a little bit about that fabric that you do, my dear. Very pretty fabric. One of the unique things about your laundry basket quilt company and the fabrics you design, you know, for your lines is that you mix batiks and non-batiks, even in your collections. How did you come to doing that?
For many years, I would create patterns in which, even if I would take an inspiration from a traditional quilt and take a spin on it, I would use not only reproduction and printed fabrics, I would mix batiks to get that really brilliant color into appliques or in a certain area of the quilt. So I have been mixing batiks and printed fabrics for quite a while, and later on, I got the opportunity to design, and when I start designing, I only design batiks, but because I used batiks and printed in my quilts, Moda opened the door for me to do that as well in my collection, and oh my gosh, do I have a surprise for spring market.
Ooh.
My new collection is just fabulous. I am just jumping out of my chair to show it to everybody.
Well, if you like it, it's got to be awesome, because, you know, you have such enthusiasm for presenting. You know, you are just so amazing. Now, is this the new one called Sweet 16? I'm looking on your website, or is it one after
Sweet
that?
Sweet 16 is arriving to stores right now.
Okay.
The one that I'm going to show in the stores, to the stores at the spring market in Salt Lake City, called Indian Summer, and it is 22 batiks and 18 printed fabrics to die for.
Exciting.
They are gorgeous. I am just in heaven with them. And I created four just fabulous quilts. I am going to do a little bit of applique in one. I got a new applique one, one that it's a piece and another one that it's a block of the month. And then I took a low spin on a jelly roll, and that one calls a wagon wheel. And I think that one is going to be everyone's favorite.
Oh, I like the name already. I like the name already. So tell me about batiks and working with batiks. What kind of tips do you have for people? Because some people don't use them that much. So what can you tell us about using them?
What is fabulous about batiks that they provide a wonderful color choices. And another thing that it's great that the color is on both sides of the fabric. So you don't have a right and a wrong side to the fabric. You have a lighter side and a darker side. The lighter side is the side that the wax is put on to cover some of the area to create the beautiful images on batiks.
Oh, okay. But I didn't know that.
Yeah, once it's washed, it goes all away, and you can use batiks left or right or wrong. There isn't a right or wrong, so you can use it either side. So and batiks don't fray as much as regular
printed fabric. The weave is really tight. The base fabric has a really tight weave, right?
Yes, because you don't want it to absorb as much color. And also, so when you cut the edges, and with the color on both sides, the raw edges are just wonderful. So I use batiks quite often in my raw edge applique quilts. It's like painting with fabric. It truly is. You just go right for it, and you fill up the areas where you have leaves and flowers with color of fabrics, and it is just start growing on your background, considering that this would be your canvas. So raw edge applique quilts are wonderful from batiks.
From batiks. Do you also needle turn? We have about 30 seconds. Do you, till we do a commercial break, do you needle turn your batiks also, or do you mostly do it by machine when you applique?
I love to do needle turn as well. If you do it needle turn, pre-wash your fabric and make sure you do add a fabric softener to give the softness to it.
So
you pre-wash your batiks to get rid of even more of the wax out of it, so it gets soft and easy to work with it.
Yeah, so, that's that. When I've done the needle turn with batiks before, I mean, just trying to needle it was a little difficult, but I don't think I probably washed them enough, and I know I didn't put any softener in.
Fabric softener, yes. And you should always try batiks because you don't want the fabric to bleed.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with Adita Sitar.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now- Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hey, we're back with Adita Sitar, designer extraordinaire. So, Adita, you have a wonderful project and all people quilts called the Bold Sunburst Table Runner. I love that.
Yes. Oh, it's a wonderful project. What I did in that one is I included one of my favorite techniques that you take a piece of fabric, fold it, set it into the seam, and when you open that piece of fabric, it gives you a secondary design of a point between the traditional grandmother's fan. So, or dress and plate.
That is so clever.
Thank you. Thank
it
you.
Is. It is so incredibly clever because now that's going to be dimensional when the quilt's finished, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it gives such a wonderful look to the quilt. And a lot of people love to touch and feel how it gives that low three-dimensional low touch to it.
Now, when you're making the fold, they have a great tutorial on the website, All People Quilt, and we have a link to it from the radio show page. So, but
wonderful.
The thing is, I noticed like on the top, you have the fan part sort of pre-turned under with a second piece of fabric.
Yes, basically I put a second piece of fabric on the top and I sewed around the arch and turned it under. You can also use inner facing if you would like to for that area. But okay. I thought it would be easier for some of the ladies that like to do machine applique. Mm-hmm. Or if you are hand applique, you can needle turn those edges. But I like preparing my turns.
Yeah, you like preparing them in advance. So,
yes.
Oh, it's a great project. Now, have you ever seen it made up like into a bigger quilt rather than a table runner? Has anybody done one?
Oh, yes. I've seen in a bigger quilt. And I also have two other patterns that are similar to that project. And one is a lap quilt and one is a bed quilt.
Oh, okay.
And it is just fabulous. And many ladies cannot believe they stand far away from the quilt and they said, oh, this is such a little tiny little point. How did you put that in? And when they come closer, they realize it's just a piece of fabric, a triangle folded in half, set into the seam, and then open up. So there isn't extra sewing to it or anything. It's just the pressing and setting that fabric in a seam.
Very clever. And, you're such a clever girl. And everybody can get that pattern, get the table runner pattern with all the photos over at allpeoplequilt.com. So check that out. Now, you have lots of books that are just, you know, chock full of amazing things. But I wanted you to talk a little bit today about your Friendship Triangle book, Friendship Triangles, how that, because it's a unique concept that you put together in this book. So if you
could
tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Over the years, I have been enjoying being a part of many different quilting groups, and I have swapped fabrics with my buddies. And one of the most fun way to swap triangles is through swap fabric is through triangles.
Yeah.
So I started.
I love triangles.
Isn't it wonderful? And you can use them even if you have another project you're working on it, and you get these new triangles. You can incorporate them in many different projects and use them as your finishing pieces, or as your startup for a quilt. And I always think, you know, fabrics, just like the grass, it seems to be always greener at the other stuff. So fabrics are always better at somebody else's stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the way to get a little bit of what your friends have if you want to swap some triangles with them. And basically, you make the same color triangle and swap it with your friends. And recently, I released another book called Friendship Strips and Scraps. And in that one, I'm exchanging strips with my friends. So instead of making the triangles, you purchase a piece of fabric, cut it to strips, and swap it with your buddies. And there's 18 projects that are based on strips exchanges.
Mm-hmm. And you have a beautiful house block on the front of that book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's my farmhouse. That's my dream home that I didn't get it yet.
Your dream home. Yeah, we all have those, don't we? Something we would have a big studio, I bet.
Oh, my studio is next door to my home. It's in a barn that my husband so generously and nicely built for me with his hands. And he also built many of the furniture that are in my home. And some of the pictures from the studio were featured in American Patchwork and Quilting magazine. But I enjoy my studio very, very much.
Wow. That must be. Do you have two floors in the barn that you use?
Yep, there is two floors. Downstairs is a, just area for fabric and cutting and quilts and storing all my quilts. Mm-hmm. And upstairs I have a more of a designing area where I make a huge mess and I can close the door. No one sees what I'm doing when I'm rolling in my bundles of fabrics.
I know. Everybody wants to come see your place now. We better not publish your address. You'll have all these visitors come see the infamous barn, Edita's barn.
Where many of the quilts that I have in my barn, I'm going to feature in my newest book that I'm going to release in the end of the year, in October. Mm-hmm. And that book calls Reason for Quilts. Why are we making all of these quilts?
Yeah.
And it is fabulous. It has 82 of my favorite quilts that I have made over the years. And
oh, wow.
For many different reasons, for mm-hmm. babies and weddings, for mm-hmm. Feeling better, are celebrating mm-hmm. and enjoying friendships. So that's the newest one that I'm working on it.
Fun. Because, you know, most people do give their quilts away. Do you find that when you're teaching?
You know, yes, definitely. Quilters are the most generous group of people that I've ever met. And even from example from grandma, she would make mm-hmm. 50 quilts a year and donate
right.
every one of them to her bingo. Mm-hmm. And it's just their quilters are so generous and they make many quilts to give it away. And I'm thrilled to be a quilter.
I know. I am too. It's a great friendship. It's a great thing to a great group of people to be associated with.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious. Do you have a quilt that you sort of have in the back of your mind that you need to make one day? Do you have
yes.
one of those on your brain?
All the time. I do. At this moment, I am brainstorming one. It's going to be called Common Bride. And as all of us watched that wedding last week and wanted to be in that beautiful wedding gown all over again, I thought, no, I just want to make a wedding quilt. So
there
Common
you go.
Bride would be a next one that I'm going to do it. And it's going to have applique. It's going to have piecing. It's one of those quilts that I always wanted to make. It's going to be fun.
Sort of a bigger deal kind of quilt then, something that's
yes,
a
definitely,
bigger project.
Definitely, yes. A kind of a album quilt starting in the center and taking the steps that a bride takes with, you know, choosing the flowers and choosing the veil going around and things like that. So I kind of have the concept and I have been brainstorming and it was just the royal wedding was a little bit of a kick in my bottom to, yes, I need to do this. Remember, you want to always do this.
Yes. Because you always need that little sort of push sometimes. Pushes
yeah.
you over the
yeah.
edge, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Say, okay, now's the time.
Yeah, there is another quilt also that I have it in my mind and I keep on saying, one day I'm going to make this quilt. And it's going to be a combination of applique and antique quilts. I have been very lucky to collect some of antique quilt tops that are not finished, and I mm-hmm. thought if I put them into a beautiful quilt and use them as a background for an
yeah.
old oak tree and applique the branches, and everywhere where there would be a sky or leaves, I would add as a background those antique quilts, that could be a fun project. So that's mm-hmm. one of those that I'm going to make. I don't know how big it's going to get, so maybe I'd be calling you for help.
Oh, okay. Can you do this section? Yeah, we can do it as a friendship thing. We'll do that. So do you ever have, like a time, Edita, when you really need, like, you know, like a little jump start, you know, not, it's more like, you know, you need to, maybe you haven't been quilting for a little while. I can't imagine that that would happen to you, but does it ever happen that you need to sort of do something to get yourself going again?
You know, the best thing, I found it, to get me going. And yes, I don't quilt all the time because I also travel and visit guilds and publish books and even answer daily emails. And so I know that just like any other quilter, the best thing ever is to go buy new fabric.
Yay!
And it just triggers those creative juices and you want to make that quilt. And I just, so if fabrics come in and my new collections come in, I'm back into the sewing machine. When I go shopping or I need a little boost, I go shopping and buy fat quarters and enjoy myself. And that is kind of push me to do more quilting.
That I think that works for a lot of people. I used to just, you know, well, I still do. I just need to go get out and go pet some fabric that I don't already own. You know, just go to the store and, you know, get inspired by all that stuff that's out there. So do you also have a hobby, Adita? Do you do something other than quilting? And, you know, you have a family, so I know you do things with your family. But do you have something else?
I have three children, and my oldest one is a senior this year, so my hobby pretty much became making prom dresses and being on all the dance recitals, and my daughter is in a ballet, so I do a lot of going and seeing her dance and fixing her outfits, but I love gardening, and a lot of the colors and things that I show in my quilts come from my gardening, but I think the hobby that I have is gardening. And I love knitting. I don't know how to knit very well, but I know how to make a scarf. So sometimes I just knit another scarf and another scarf and another scarf.
Yeah.
And I just love knitting.
Cool. I like yarn, too. Well, you know, Adita, this has been so awesome for you to be on the show. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so, so much, Pat. It's always a pleasure. And I'm a huge fan for many years of your work. And I'm thrilled to be talking to you today.
Well, this has been we've been chatting with Adita Sitar of LaundryBasketQuilts.com. So you can go visit her there and look for her, you know, her fabrics and her books and go hang out with her. So, Adita, I'm going to see you I don't even want to know, like in a week and a half, right?
Yes, 7 days and 12 hours.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't want to know that. Okay, so I'll see you in a few days. Thanks for being on
Wonderful.
The show.
Thank you for having me. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. So we'll be back after another break with Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Company, another favorite of everybody's. This is Pat Sloan.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back. I have a new guest on, my good friend, Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Company. You all know Miss Rosie's Quilt Company. You know her little schnibbles patterns and all her fabulous piecing and her dog, Rosie. Miss Rosie, of course. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Congratulations to you and American Patchwork and Quilting. This is a fabulous partnership and much success to you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited. And you are a well-loved contributor to the magazine. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now that we'll be hitting you up for more designs, you know that too. So, you know, you write, also Carrie writes like a rockin' blog, so you have to go see her blog. You know, you can get it from her website, MissRosiesQuiltCompany.com, quiltco.com. So, what's going on in the land of Miss Rosie? Are you working on new projects right now?
Working on new projects and kind of getting stuff packed and you know, running out to the printer and, you know, all the crazy things that you do the week before. Everything from running quilts out. I ran a quilt out to the quilter this morning.
Oh.
And I'm expecting proofs. And I'm sorry, there's an airplane flying overhead. I am outside. This is really bad. And to those people who are in colder areas, I apologize. I am out on the patio right now because we have somebody in the house doing some work.
Oh.
So those are the jets from Luke Air Force Base. So,
well, see, you can tell it's a live show. Because,
yes, you can tell it's a live show.
Just...
And then the other occasional noise you'll hear in the background is Rosie, because with me being outside, Rosie, the deranged dog, has to chase her rock. So it's the normal, you know, a week, 10 days before market stuff.
There we go. So let's talk a little bit about techniques, because you and I have chatted about this before. And, you know, when we go out and teach, you know, people always want to know stuff. They wanted us to tell them things that, you know, we do, how we do things. You know, what kind of stuff do you find comes up when you're out on the road teaching?
It's just that. How do I do this? How do I handle this? How do you get that perfect scant quarter inch? And kind of just, how do you get the results that you get? How do you get things better? And you and I have talked about the thing that has come up the most in the last couple years. What I have found myself talking about most is, we get caught up with rules that this person says you have to do this, this book says you have to do it this way, and to me it comes down to what works best for you. So if you know the rules, great. If you know them, it lets you break them, and it really comes down to, if you need to clip a seam to press it in two different directions, go for it, pressing it open. If you need to fudge your seam allowance a little bit or fudge your piece, if you need to flip something the opposite way so that you can see the point, that's what you need to do. And it's worry less about what other people say you need to be doing. If you're happy with the results that you're getting, and anything that sucks the joy out of the process, don't do it. Break that rule.
You're right.
To me, that's what it comes down to, is do what you need to do to get the results you want and to enjoy what you're doing, because this is a hobby. And even for us, if we didn't love quilting, we'd be doing something else maybe.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, people say, you know, what do you do for hobbies? It's like, well, I quilt. Yeah. And it's my business. Yeah. Okay. I do a few other things. But yeah, you do have to love it. That's the whole thing, is you want it to have joy. I was just on Twitter today and somebody was like, you know, I was told I have to open my seams. I always, you know, ironed my seams open, but somebody said I'm not supposed to do that, and I did it to one side. And it's like, no, there's really no rule.
No, and you will run into people who say that there are, and there are sometimes reasons why you might prefer one over the other, but I know for like pressing seams open, there are hand quilters who, If you're going to hand quilt it a quarter inch away, well, now you've created more bulk for you. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to hand quilt it, why does that matter?
Right.
And
I think knowing the reason why something is done a certain way helps mm-hmm. you make a decision whether that's going to work for how you're working.
Exactly.
Yeah, and people don't always take that extra step, you know, especially when they're new. You know, it's harder when you're new because you don't know anything yet. You're learning it all.
Well, and I know sometimes, I know for me, like when I'm writing a pattern or doing something for a book, sometimes if you have the space and you can take that extra minute and mm-hmm. put in, look, if you've learned to do it this way or you think you need to do it that way, here's mm-hmm. why, but if you're not, that doesn't apply to you, don't worry about it.
Cool. That's a very good point. That's very good. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't get so stressed out. I'm really a relaxed teacher. I could never be like a kindergarten teacher because I'd be like, oh, do whatever you want, whatever works. Yeah.
And like you in that regard, I know when first started teaching, I had to think about how I was in class mm-hmm. and the really structured class of we're all working on this part of this block and nobody work ahead. Well, I was the one hiding pieces in my lap because I had made 16 half square triangles when we were only supposed to make two. And so I thought, no, everybody has to work at their own pace and do what makes them comfortable.
Yeah. So what do you love most about teaching when you're out on the road? What's the best part about a class for you?
The best part is when you can share something, whether it's a tip or just saying, ignore those rules, mm-hmm. and sometimes just the positive reinforcement of somebody's trying something new, and you say, that looks amazing, and you've gotten somebody excited or jazzed about what they're doing, because as we've talked about, it's one of the reasons that like you and follow you is I want people to be as excited and passionate about quilting as I am, and I want them to enjoy it as much. And sometimes, yeah, there are days when I'm sitting in my workroom and it's just not working. And you put it away and you do something else, but it's still, I keep coming back to it because I love cutting up fabric and sewing it back together in a different way to make something pretty. And so anytime I can say or do something that helps somebody feel that way, it's a good day.
It's a good day. It's true. You can just really see it, too, when people are having a good time in class.
Oh, it is. And I know I mentioned to you one time, one of my favorite quotes having to do with anything about education is, it's the lighting of a fire, not the filling of a pail. And so I'm not there in class to cram as much quilting knowledge into somebody's head as I possibly can. I haven't got that much. But if I can say or do something that gets them or keeps them excited about this or maybe sparks some other thing in them that they're now thinking, oh, well, you know, if I did this and I did that, and oh, I hadn't thought of that. Mm-hmm, that's what matters, is keeping people excited about it.
Yes. Keep them making things and making more things.
Exactly.
Yay. And people can hire you to come tell them all this in person, right?
I beg your pardon?
People can hire you to come tell them all this in person.
Well, yeah, they can. But then, of course, they need to know. I really do talk that much. And I think that's... So it's like they need to be aware, but yes. And absolutely, I love getting to meet and hang out with quilters in different areas because it is always a surprise the different backgrounds that are there and mm-hmm. some of the way that they do things and absolutely different styles and different color palettes. So yes, people can absolutely contact me and have me come and babble for them, just for them.
It's always fun.
Well, that's it. I mean, a captive audience where I get to show quilts. Are you kidding? I am so there.
Yeah. I know. I want to come hang out in your class so we could just talk the whole time one time. It's poor students.
Well, no, but that's what I do with my students is I just walk around and I chat with people and I tell stories and mm-hmm. occasionally pass out tips and just do things of this is why I did this way. This is what I'm thinking about here. And truth be told, the biggest surprise is always people, well, how much do you think about the fabric of each block? Like, mm-hmm. not much. It's when you start with a fabric that you really like in this group. And yeah, there are things you think about, but no, I don't plan the placement for every single half square triangle in a quilt. I really don't.
No, it's sort of step back. Yep, it's looking good. Move forward. Otherwise, uh-huh. you never finish anything.
You mean I'm supposed to finish stuff? Oh, my gosh. Oh, see, I knew there was something I was doing wrong.
Okay, let's talk scrappy for a few minutes because you are, a master at putting a lot of fabrics together. So
thank you.
For people who work with a little bit more controlled palette but want to bring in more fabrics into what they're doing, how would you suggest they start doing that?
The biggest thing would say is first when they start with picking fabrics, I'm always surprised when people will comment, I use a lot of patterned fabric in my scraps, and it lets me bring in other colors. I mean, my quilt may be, say, red and black, but now if that one of the red or black fabrics has a little gold floral on it, now I've worked gold in, and it mm-hmm. lets me work in some other pieces that may have that. So I think that's the first thing is to use some of those patterned fabrics to bring in other colors. And I think for scrap quilts of any kind, it's always, if I had to put it back to one thing, I think it's about balance. Mm-hmm. And you can't have all really big prints. You can't have all tone on tones unless that's mm-hmm. a very, very specific look you're going for. Mm-hmm. But to get some of the old look, there was, because they really were using scraps. Mm-hmm. And so they had scraps of everything. And the same goes for color. If we all tend to go more towards the middle range, well, mm-hmm. you need to include some lights and some darks, but you can't have 20 medium tones and then one light and one dark. You need a couple to balance it out. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with adding in what sometimes people will call a zinger. Mm-hmm, you can't just have one. And you can't have two pieces of it in a quilt with 1,200 pieces. Yeah. Add a couple more that are maybe not the same fabric, but kind of close to it and maybe a little softer. And all of that, and work it throughout the quilt. Don't have it. We always seem to have it that all of those blocks are down in one corner because we didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
And
well, we're going to take a little break, Carrie.
Okay.
We're going to take one of those, and when we come back, we'll
get quilting
talk
tips
a little
and
bit more
for
so people get to know you. And so, right after the commercial.
Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
About our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers.
The Sew-Line Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sew-Line products, visit your local quilt shop.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hello, hello. We are back with Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Company. So, Carrie, you saw the red and white exhibit just like I did in New York City. Did the angels sing?
They did. As you're walking down the hallway, and it was amazing to me how many people said the same thing of, as you are walking down that dark hallway and you see the quilts ahead of you, you just got goosebumps. And I remember getting just this lump in my throat thinking, mm-hmm. and I mean, even now I'm getting goosebumps of,
yes.
Oh my gosh, this is so incredible. And of course you walk out thinking every quilt show ever needs to be hung like that.
Oh yeah, vertical.
It was absolutely stunning. And just thank you, Joanna Rose.
Oh, I know. It's just amazing. There's 651 quilts. So amazing, amazing.
And of course, aren't we all excited that, yes, there will be a book sometime probably next year. And
yes. Yay. Hands clapping. So do you want to make a red and white quilt now?
I absolutely do. The surprise is I do have a red and cream quilt. But yes, I'm planning on some small red and white quilts. And of course, the very hard thing for me is, am I going to do it solid red and solid white? And it's like, oh, I don't know. And
I know. That's the hard part. I don't work in solids very much.
Well, and I used to do quite a bit when I first started quilting, mm-hmm. but they were very bright colors. And so I'm getting back more into doing solids and have a couple quilts that are on the drawing board with that. But, yeah, I've got a red and white quilt in my future. Big or small, I've got one in there, a couple of them probably.
So tell people a little bit about your blog, because it's very clever. You don't write every day, but that's okay, because when you write, it's just a hoot. And, you know, what do you get out of doing a blog? What does it do for you?
A couple of things. It's probably a way of kind of answering some questions that come up in classes and hopefully getting people, same sort of thing as in classes, of getting people excited about quilting, of, I went to this really neat place, this is a great quilt shop, if you're in this area, you need to go here. And I think what I've also enjoyed is both, this is how I do things. But I remember last year when it came out of my search for my perfect quilt, which I then had to confess that I didn't have one. I'd never made a perfect quilt. And this sense that, oh, yes, everything I make comes out perfectly and it's wonderful. Well, I've made quilts that didn't become patterns because you looked at it and thought, really?
Yeah.
I mean, Carrie, really? You thought, well, it was a good idea at the time.
Right.
And so sometimes it's that of just the foibles of sometimes mm-hmm. quilting and the mistakes that you make. And yes, I have had to go back and recut pieces because I cut them all the wrong size. And yes, I have done connector corners where half of them needed to be one way and half the other way. And I only realized that after I had done all of them one way.
And we get to share that on the blog so everybody can see what it's really like.
That's it. It's the Wizard of Oz. Here's behind the curtain, okay?
Yes.
And some of it is, yes, there are people in our business who do amazing work. And you know what? I'm sorry. I don't believe that they have a behind the curtain. Everything they do is wonderful. Well, I'm not like that. And I, you know, sometimes it's nice to know that for other quilters to know that, yeah, I mess things up a lot. So, and I really do talk that much.
Oh, well, you know, and she puts pictures too. So it's really nice. You get to go see everything that she's talking about. That's the fun part. So we were talking about visiting places earlier. Is there some place that you'd really like to visit? Because, you know, why don't you just tell people? Maybe somebody will invite you there.
Well, one of these days, I would like to get to Australia. That's on my list of I'm going to get there, and in part just admittedly, they have great quilters and great quilting there. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like to just see Australia. Mm-hmm. I grew up a little bit overseas, so there are parts of the world have seen, mm-hmm. but I never got to Australia.
And where did you grow up? Where were you at overseas?
South America, Colombia, and okay. Venezuela, and then of course I was born in Saudi Arabia. So, Dad was in the oil business. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Dad got to Australia, but I didn't. So, he wouldn't take me. But I'll get
over
it.
I know. I've never gotten to Japan. My parents went, but I didn't get to go. So.
Well, you know what, Pat? Next year, you and I need to go to that international Tokyo show.
Yes.
Wouldn't
amazing.
That be amazing? So that's it. Next January, that's where we're going.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody on board. We're heading out. Heading out to the quilt shows overseas. It's a good thing.
You could do a book, Pat Tours Japan, and there you go.
Okay. You could do one, too. We could do one together.
We could. Although, I don't know about you, but I would, after seeing all those quilts there, it would be a little intimidating, but they're
pretty
amazing.
Yeah, I think you
just
need to do a book on their quilting, and that would be best.
We can do that, too, but we'll have to talk and see if we can get a trip planned. But Australia's probably where we'd really like to go.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. And the quilters there are amazing. They do a different type of quilting than we do, mm-hmm. and they do the same as we do. But it's like you can look at quilts and say, that must be an Australian designer. They put so much stitchery in their quilts, so it's really lovely.
Oh, it is, from the embroidery to using mm-hmm. some of the cotton flosses for the quilting itself. Yes, mm-hmm. quite amazing work. So
tell us what's coming up next for you. We have about a minute, and tell me what you're releasing, new things. You have some patterns. You have
have some new patterns. I have a book coming out in September, a new Schnibbles book. There's new fabric that is actually one fabric is coming in July, and then the other one, I don't know that we're going to have everything on paper. It's just about finished. And then, a whole bunch of new patterns. I'm going to have several new Schnibbles and a couple of big quilts and then just some fun little small quilts that are not Schnibbles.
The Schnibbles are a certain size quilt, aren't they? Just tell people who don't know what that is.
The Schnibbles quilts are all done with charm squares. All of the cutting, unless you need like a background or borders, all of the cutting is done from 5-inch squares. And then in the book, they're also done from 10-inch squares. So they're from a very specific pre-cut.
Good.
Motive charm packs.
People are going to look for them. They're very cute. Her patterns are just adorable, all of Carrie's. So, Carrie, I just thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And, again, congratulations and much success to you both. And tell Jennifer I didn't talk the whole time, and so she still has her segment.
Okay, we'll bring her on so she knows she has her segment. So go visit Carrie Nelson at Miss Rosie's Quilt Co., quiltco.com, and check out her blog and all her things and look for her on the road. You know, the Australians, give her a call. So thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye.
Bye.
So closing in the end of our first show for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I want to bring on Jennifer Keltner, who is our executive editor for the American Patchwork and Quilting magazine family. So hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm excited. This has been so fun for our first show.
Well, we're super excited here at the office to have you as the host for our new radio show. And we're absolutely thrilled with the opportunity to bring the pages of our publications and our website to life and
Yay.
Give listeners a chance to hear from all these great designers.
Are you having cupcakes in the office today?
We are having cupcakes in the office later on to celebrate.
Oh, good.
I'll have one for you. Right. My first official act, though, I think is going to have to be to insist that if you and Carrie get to go to Australia or to Japan, I'm going to have to go with you. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, we could do an article then. So
there you go. There should be no great travel that I'm not a part of.
So tell everybody the family of quilt publications that are all under American Patchwork and Quilting.
Sure. Well, obviously, American Patchwork and Quilting is our subscription title, and that comes out 6 times a year. Then we also produce Quilts and More magazine, which is our quarterly newsstand title, and Quilt Sampler, which comes out twice a year.
Tell Quilts and More is they can only buy it at the newsstand.
They can only buy it at the newsstand, right. And the same is true of Quilt Sampler. But you can get it often at your favorite local quilt shop. So we always like people to try there first.
Yes, yes, that's true. Because you can buy it, I would sometimes say, tell the shop you want to reserve a copy because they go fast.
Exactly. And they are going like hotcakes now. Quilts and More, the summer issue just went on sale last week, and Quilt Sampler is just going on sale this week. And Quilt Sampler gives you a look at 11 great quilt shops around the country and has 11 exclusive projects in it. Quilts and More is more geared toward not just fun and easy quilt projects, but also bags and pillows and pin cushions and other things you can make with the fabrics that you love. Mm-hmm. And then we also produce Quilt Lover's Favorites, which is a book series, and we have an issue that comes out every year of that. It's a hardcover book. And we do special newsstand issues. The one that's on sale now is called Perfect for Pre-Cuts, and it's also available at quilt shops and newsstands around the country, and it's using all of those great pre-cuts that are on the market now, the charm squares and the 2.5-inch strips and the larger packs of squares.
We're actually going to bring on some of those shop owners, too, aren't we, for the shows in the future?
Absolutely, and we're excited for us to be able to bring to life what's in the magazine and to share with readers and fans of our printed matter the voice of all of those designers. We'll have upcoming, in just a couple of weeks, trends from the quilt market, and they'll get to hear from our editors and also get to talk to some of the shop owners that are in this latest issue and find out what's going on and what's coming and what they're finding at quilt market that will be coming soon to quilt shops near you.
That's the exciting part. We're going to hear it right from shop owners who are doing the buying for you.
It is exciting, and there's always such a great time at Quilt Market. We get the opportunity to see everything there is, and often in the pages of the magazine, you have to wait a while for that to get printed. And although we can put some of it online at allpeoplequilt.com on our website, having the radio show every week will give us an opportunity to share that news that much faster.
Ooh, well, it's a time to close the show down, Jennifer, for this week.
Well, it's been really fun. Thanks for a great kickoff.
I'm excited. And next week, I want to tell everybody so that when you come back, we're going to have three guests next week. Our most loved designer, Kim Deal, because you've had her in the magazine quite a few times.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have Lisa Bongean of Primitive Gatherings. And Lisa, we're going to talk to her about not only her store and her new retreat facility, but her patterns and her fabric. She has fabric also. And we have Weeks Ringel and her husband Bill from Fun Quilts, and they do a little more contemporary work. So
it sounds like a great show.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. So I want everybody to visit American Patchwork and Quilting at allpeoplequilt.com for all kinds of great information. Remember to go to iTunes and look for American Patchwork and Quilting. This is Pat Sloan signing off. You can visit me at patsloan.com.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.